I won it.
Okay, we will call to order the House Committee on Judiciary Civil Law. Welcome everybody. Today, we're going to take things a little bit out of order and begin with a work session on Senate Bill 690. I'll open the work session on Senate Bill 690. Oh, we need to do something before we get to that. This is on reconsideration. Chair moves to suspend for unanimous consent to suspend the rules for the purpose of reconsidering the vote by which the committee passed Senate Bill 690. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair moves to reconsider Senate Bill 690. Is there any objection? So ordered. Now we're in work session on Senate Bill 690. Mr. Barrows, do you want to come up and explain the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dave Barrows. I'm here today representing the Non-Bank Funds Transmitters Group. Wish to express our gratitude, Mr. Chairman, to you and the other members of the House for bringing this bill off the floor for this one simple amendment, the 690-B4 amendment. And all that amendment does, Mr. Chairman, is delete one sentence. Makes no substantive changes. This sentence, which is found on page 3, lines 25 and 26, was discovered by the attorney for the Oregon Bankers Association, who felt it was inappropriate to be in there. It didn't make any sense. Mr. Levine, who appeared before you and who is the attorney from Washington, D.C., who represents this group, agreed that it didn't belong in there. And Mr. Harlan from Consumer and Business Services, who is here, also agreed that it should come out. And so we're the same three kind of groups are in agreement, and we would ask that you adopt the dash four amendments and resubmit the bill to the floor.
Okay. Are there any questions of Mr. Barrows? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Williams.
I would move the adoption of
Dash B4 amendments to Senate Bill 690.
Representative Williams moves the Dash B4 amendments to Senate Bill 690. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Chairman.
Representative Williams.
I would move Senate Bill 690 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williams moves Senate Bill 690 as further amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative
Backman?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative
Smith?
She's
excused.
Representative Herbal?
Yes.
Representative Walker?
Yes.
Representative Williams?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Yes.
Chair Kennedy?
Yes. Senate Bill 690, as further amended, goes before the due pass recommendation. Representative Backlund, you were on that. Do you think you can still handle it with the deletion of that sentence? Okay. Motion carried. Close the work session. I guess the press, we'll take a minute here for the press to leave now that we've. 690. Okay. Let's next go to a public hearing on Senate Bill 196. Open that. Council?
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 196 was amended by the Senate, modifies state law to comply with the Federal Financial Reform, Recovery, and Enforcement Act, commonly known, I guess, for those who know about it, as FIREA, and also removes the Evaluation Committee from current state law. And as you'll hear from the witnesses, due to the fact that they believe that committee is no longer necessary with the improvement in available market information.
Mr. Martinez.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, what's your counsel said? That's exactly what the bill does. Randall Edwards, Representative Edwards, would remember in his past life that there's not many times that the Oregon Bankers Association sits side by side with the Treasurer's Office in supporting a bill. This is one of those times. We wish we could have brought you a broader bill. The bill started out dealing with some major changes to the way public funds are collateralized in Oregon's financial institutions. Unfortunately, we couldn't get there, primarily through my association's inability to achieve those changes. But the Treasurer has agreed with us, and we support these two changes. One simply is with FIREA requiring either the Board of Directors or the Loan Committee of the financial institution to affirmatively take an action saying that, yes, we want to take these public funds deposits and we agree to live with the rules set up by the Treasurer's Office. And secondly, the Valuation Committee, which the Treasurer believes is no longer necessary. I'd be happy to answer any questions and turn it over to Mr. Bond.
Mr. Bond. Mr. Chair, thanks. I'm Darren Bond, the Director of Finance for the Oregon State Treasury. And as staff and Tim have indicated, the bill is fairly straightforward. You have my written testimony, and we encourage your support. If you have any specific questions, I'll address them. Otherwise, I think it's covered.
Do we have his testimony?
No.
Is that it right there on the table?
Sorry. I have my written testimony.
Yeah.
Thanks.
For the record, committee, my legislative staff is doing this so that she can be invited to the committee party.
Mr. Chair, I'll let Carl know.
Okay. I think she did. Okay, are there any questions for the witnesses? We have the testimony of Mr. Bond entered for the record. Okay. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 196 and open a work session. Representative Edwards.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 196A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Edwards moves Senate Bill 196A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Please call the roll.
Representative Ackman?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative Ball?
Excused.
Representative Verbalow?
Yes.
Representative Walker?
Aye.
Representative Wells?
Yes.
Representative Williams?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Yes.
Chair Shatter?
Aye. Senate Bill 196 goes to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Representative Edwards will carry. Okay, let's open a public hearing on Senate Bill 915. Council?
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 915 deals with that black dot designation you might be familiar with in the phone book related to commercial solicitation calls. And the bill will result in establishment of a list of consumers who do not wish to receive telephone solicitation, and that list will be procured by the Attorney General and will contain names of persons, as I said, who do not wish to receive telephone solicitations.
Okay. We've got witnesses on this. Let's bring them up together. Pete Shepard, Paul Cosgrove, and Gary Bauer.
Okay.
Whoever wants to go first.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Pete Shepard. I'm the attorney in charge of the Financial Fraud Consumer Protection Section at the Oregon Department of Justice. You should have shortly my prepared comments, and perhaps the best thing to do is simply say, describe to you briefly as an introduction to the bill, the number of complaints we've received about the subject that the bill is intended to address, and that is unsolicited commercial telephone calls to persons at their homes. And we've received 227 complaints of such calls since January 1st of 1998, between that time and April 1st, and all those complaints alleged violations of what's called Oregon's Black Dot Law. And this is a law, 646-659 is the statutory citation, that allows a consumer to request their directory service company to include a designation in the published directory, which is often a black dot, hence the nickname Black Dot Law, that makes it then an unlawful trade practice for a telephone commercial solicitor to contact the person whose name is so listed. Typically, it costs consumers about 50 cents a month to have their name listed in that fashion. Now, the basic concept of the bill, as you can see from the sort of flowchart you have in my testimony, is to substitute for the directory publishing company a contracted list administrator, someone who would be hired on the basis of a competitive contract by the Department of Justice to be a central source for the names of consumers who wish to have not be contacted by commercial telephone solicitors.
Now, there are two features to the bill, two reasons why we think this would be an improvement over current law. First, with respect to the individual recipient of the call who is disturbed against their wishes by the solicitor. And that simply is that when the original law was passed, it was more true than it is today that the single source for telephone solicitation lists was the directory that was published by the local telephone company. Today, however, that's not true, probably not even generally true, because there are so many different sources for the names and telephone numbers of potential buyers for various goods and services. Frequently, and this leads to the second advantage of the bill, frequently businesses contact consumers who have paid their directory companies for these listings, but the businesses contact them based upon a list that's derived from some source other than the telephone directory. For example, from a list that's been purchased from a financial institution or from some other business. So as a consequence, both from the consumer standpoint, receiving the unwanted calls, and from the business's standpoint, that wants to use a legitimate marketing tool, violations of the law occur. So what we propose to do with the bill, by substituting a central list administrator for these directory publishers, is simply make it easier for businesses to comply with the law and to honor the request of consumers and not to be contacted. That's the gist of the bill. We do support the Dash A3 amendments, which simply clarify our intent that a trade association could purchase the list and then redistribute that list to its members as a service to its members, so that its members would not have to contact the contracted list administrator directly.
Okay. Representative Werbelow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Pete, the way I read this, and I'm just asking for some affirmation, I guess, right now you can call and have the black dot put in the telephone directory. But if we pass this bill, it seems we wouldn't even have to do that anymore because the telephone directories, they have to give you any list. So this would be a centralized list, period, and cover all bases.
Mr. Chair, Representative Werbelow, that's correct. The consumer would direct their request to the central contract administrator rather than to their individual telephone directory publisher.
Follow-up question.
Yes.
There's nothing in here, but I assume it's going to cost something for the DOJ to contract with this organization. We don't have any fiscal impact, but it wouldn't be that substantial, would it, the cost?
Mr. Chair, Representative Werbelow, we've prepared a fiscal in dollars, and the reason for that is that we think that the position of list administrator is going to be, that's a very potentially a lucrative position. And we suspect that we will be able to contract with someone to do this without having to pay the list administrator to do it, because the bill provides that consumers will pay a fee capped at $10, but it could be less depending on the competitiveness of the bids that we receive for this, to have their names listed initially. You recall I told you that it was, under current practice, about 50 cents a month, so even if it were at $10, consumers would pay an additional $4 for this service to the list administrator as compared to the present practice. In addition, the list administrator, under the terms of the contract with the department, may also be able to derive some revenue from redistributing the list to businesses that want to have a reliable and current list. So we anticipate the only fiscal impact on the Department of Justice to be the cost of preparing and handling the preparation of the contract.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else for Mr. Shepard? Mr. Bauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, Gary Bauer with the Oregon Telecommunications Association. Mr. Shepard's done, I think, an excellent job of giving the background. I just wanted to add that this basically started with a small telephone company on the coast from the Halem that decided to no longer offer the black dot because his customers were very upset that they were paying for a black dot and still getting calls. So he asked if we could try to find a way to address that. Did a search of what was going on in some other states, came up with this, sat down with Mr. Shepard, and this is the end product. And the design was so that it would not cause the Attorney General's office to have to add staff or any additional resources, but to be able to contract out and move forward. With that, generally we're supportive. We have a couple of members who are who do utilize telemarketing services have had some concerns. So you do know there is a national association, telemarketing association, that people could contact and have your name put on their list, and they will then share that with their members. But that's a voluntary activity in terms of both their members, and you don't have to belong to the association. So we're trying to find a way that would come back and address the issues that Mr. Shepard's raised. Thank you.
Mr. Cosgrove.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Paul Cosgrove, representing the Oregon Financial Services Association. I'm here for a very narrow purpose, and that is there was a slight concern raised with respect to one word that is being deleted from current law in this bill, and Mr. Shepard and I have discussed it, and we decided to just make a few minutes of legislative history so that that deletion isn't misconstrued. If you see on page 1, line 11, there's a bracket around the word also. And that is in the definition of what a telephone solicitation is. Legislative counsel proposed that this word also be deleted. And the reason that's important is because if you look on page 3, on line 17 through 25, there's another definition of the word telephone solicitation. We agree that notwithstanding the deletion of the word also, both definitions are to be read together. What they do is they define what a telephone solicitation is. They make certain exemptions. For example, charitable calls, polling calls, and the exemptions in Section 6 of the bill, in ORS 646, 567, are in addition to the exemption on page 1 of the bill, which talks about calling your own customers, which is in ORS 646, 569. I think that accurately states what Mr. Shepard and I both agree, that this still means, notwithstanding that the word also is coming out, and I appreciate the time to be able to make that piece of legislative history. Thank you. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Okay. Questions?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I do concur with that analysis, and in particular on page 3, line 4, the definitional section in 646.567 applies on its terms to the statute we're amending in 646.569. So I believe all of those definitions in 646.567 would survive the deletion of the word also.
Okay. Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make a point of complimenting Mr. Shepard and the Department of Justice. Mr. Shepard has been before my subcommittee on commerce a number of times, always with members of a particular industry group, always working cooperatively to try to find solutions for consumers in the state of Oregon, and I appreciate his very constructive and cooperative attitude. And Mr. Bauer, I appreciate your support from the industry in terms of working with the Department of Justice to come to good solutions for consumers.
Thank you very much. All right, and thank you all of you for coming together. If there are no further questions, anybody else here to testify on Senate Bill 915? Close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 915. We have the A3 amendments before us.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Witt.
I would move adoption of the -3 amendments to Senate Bill 915.
Representative Witt moves the adoption of the -A3 amendments to Senate Bill 915. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Witt.
I would move Senate Bill 915 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Witt moves Senate Bill 915 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on that motion? Please call the roll.
Representative Beckman?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative Lowe?
Aye.
Representative Verbalow?
Yes.
Representative Walker?
Aye.
Representative
Wells?
Yes.
Representative Williams?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Yes.
Chair
Shetterly? Aye. Senate Bill 915 goes before the due pass recommendation. Representative Wells, okay. We've got that. Chair requests unanimous consent to return to work session on Senate Bill 690 for the purpose of allowing Representative Lowe to vote.
Thank you.
Objection? So ordered. Representative Lowe, how do you
vote?
Votes aye. So register that as one aye vote on Senate Bill 690.
Did everybody vote no?
No.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Close the work session on Senate Bill 690, and the chair requests unanimous consent to return to work session on Senate Bill 196 for the purpose of allowing Representative Lowe to vote. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
You want to give me a hint? Votes aye.
Okay, Representative Lowe votes aye. Senate Bill 20 is off the agenda for today. There
Still working on that. We'll come back to us on Wednesday, somehow, in a session in Congress. I don't know how we do that, but... Okay, let's go to work session on House Bill 2633. Counsel?
Chair, members of the committee, you are all intimately more familiar than this bill than I. But I can tell you that you have the hand-engrossed bill before you with the Dash 8 amendment, and this is the bill that would require notice to parents or guardians before an abortion is performed on a minor child. Minor ward, I'm sorry.
For the committee's information, the Dash 8 amendments are the same amendments that were before us at the hearing.
Correct.
Since April. So they are the same amendments that we heard, I don't know, what, 5 hours of testimony on that day. Just a second, Representative Witt was up first.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would move the Dash 8 amendments into House Bill 2633.
Representative Witt moves the Dash 8 amendments to House Bill 2633. Is there discussion on the motion to move the amendments? Is there any objection? Let's do this. Well, what? Representative Walker?
I don't support the amendments.
Pardon?
You don't support.
Okay, let's do a roll call vote. Just make it easier that way. This will be the roll call vote on the Dash 8 amendments.
Representative Bassman?
Aye.
Representative
Lowe? No.
Representative Lowe?
No.
Representative Verbalow?
No.
Representative Wells?
Yes.
Representative Williams?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Yes.
Chair Chevy?
Yes, the motion carries. Dash 8 amendments are incorporated in the bill.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Witt?
I would move House Bill 2633 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Witt moves House Bill 2633 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion on that motion?
Yes.
Representative Walker?
I don't like this bill. I think I've made it very clear what my position is on this bill. I think it's not a good thing for the young people of Oregon. It's not a good thing for the state. I'm going to be a no vote.
Representative Edwards.
Along the same line, I'm going to be a no vote. I think we all agree that where it's appropriate for parents to be involved, they should be involved. This is a very personal issue. However, as we heard from testimony before the committee, both from young opponents of the bill and proponents, they could not go to their parents. Therefore, for very good reasons. And therefore, I don't think we as a government have any reason or right to get involved in this most interpersonal decision. And that's why I'm not going to support this.
I'm sorry. Representative Lowe?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that the bill, the way it is and as amended, is flawed in the bypass procedure, and therefore I'm a no vote.
Anything else? Okay, please call the roll. This is the motion on the bill as amended to the floor.
Representative Backlund?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
No service. Notice of possible minority report.
Representative Lowe?
No, and I serve notice of possible minority report.
Representative Verbalow?
No, and I join the possible minority report.
Three?
No, and I also join the minority report.
Representative Lowe?
Yes.
Representative Williams?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Yes.
Chair Shetterly?
Yes, House Bill 2633 as amended goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Of co-carriers on this, Representative Backlund and Representative Witt. Okay. Thank you. That ends the work session on Senate Bill 2633. Next, we have the work session on HJR 29. We have amendments before us. Council, do you want to bring us up to speed on this?
Mr. Chair and members, HJR 29 would propose an amendment to the state constitution declaring that the privileges of marriage need not be granted to unmarried persons, and it would, in addition, define marriage as a union of one man and one woman. You do have a number of letters for the record. I don't know how you want to handle this.
Just if you would just indicate who they are.
One in opposition from OPEU, Local 503 of FIU in opposition, from Bonnie Tinker, in opposition, from Portland, from Kate Shard Herring, in opposition, she's also from Portland, and from Mayor Vera Katz from the City of Portland, in opposition. You also have before you, I believe, dash 8 amendments.
Mr. Chairman?
I'm not sure from whom these came.
Okay, I think we'll find out in a minute, but I just want to mention, thank Council for making note of the written testimony. I wanted that because we did take invited testimony only on Tuesday when we heard this, and we invited further public testimony in writing, so I wanted to acknowledge that in the record from whom we had received the written public testimony. Okay?
Mr. Chairman?
I'll get right to you. Representative Witt had his hand up.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the adoption of the Dash 8 Amendments to HJR 29.
Representative Witt moves the adoption of the Dash 8 Amendments to HJR 29. Is there discussion on the motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Walker?
I'm vehemently opposed to Dash 8 for this resolution period.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair. Representative Warbelow.
In honor of the over 400 written contacts I have had opposing this bill, and also because of my own viewpoint, I will be voting no against it.
Representative Wolf.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make sure that the written comments of Professor Arthur LaFrance are a part of the record. It's important to me and to him that his comments be made a part of this record. I also have received 351 emails opposed to this amendment, and too many calls, telephone calls to enumerate, and more emails are in the computer and haven't been printed out, and I have received one anonymous phone call in support of this bill, and I am going to be a no vote on this.
Further discussion?
A no on the amendment.
Okay, this is on the amendment.
This is a no.
Just on the amendment. Okay, let's take a roll call vote on the amendment.
Representative Backman?
Aye.
Representative Beckford?
No.
Representative Blow?
No.
Representative Berkelow?
No.
Representative Walker?
No.
Representative Well?
Yes.
Yes.
Representative Webb?
Yes.
Chair
Shepard? Aye. The Dash 8 amendments are incorporated in HJR 29.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Witt?
I move HJR 29 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Witt moves HJR 29 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Walker?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, too, have received over 450 emails. This represents about one-third of that stack. I have not received one call or one email in support of this legislation. It's viewed as being mean-spirited. Additionally, I want you to notice the fiscal impact statement. It's going to cost the taxpayers of the state over $1 million to decide that a marriage shall consist of only one man and one woman, which is already written in statute. I think it's a waste of taxpayer dollars. It's ridiculous to pass laws for imaginary problems. Additionally, I think if we're talking about one man and one woman, why don't we also specify in the resolution that the woman should be June Cleaver? Stay-at-home mom with pearls and baked cookies. And dad can be Ward Cleaver or Father Knows Best. I think this is just going way beyond the statutes and what we should be putting into law in our Constitution. So I am a strong no vote.
Representative Warbelow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In testimony, the invited testimony we had, and also in conversations with people, this has been represented to me as based on biblical precepts and the Christian thing to do. I would just like to say for the record, as a Christian, this is the most un-Christian thing I have ever seen.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I too am extremely troubled with this bill, and I don't take this vote very lightly. I've anticipated this as a vote that I might have to make this session. Two things trouble me. I don't see the Tanner decision in any way threatening marriage, and therefore I'm extremely troubled that we're taking and putting a definition in the Constitution. I'm always troubled when we amend the Constitution, but I'm particularly troubled by this move. Also, our courts have spoken about the issue of benefits. We have a group of people here who have been discriminated against. They have the right, as described by the court, to benefits. This is taking that right away, and I'm extremely troubled by that. If you look at the history of this country, we've always been defining rights, the rights of the individual. We're constantly finding that we're going to have to re-look at ourselves and redefine what are those rights. This is going backwards, and I'm extremely troubled by taking that right away. The voters have spoken on this issue. I don't know how many times we're going to have to keep asking them about the issue of a certain population in this state. So with that and the fact that I just feel that we as a group cannot continue to try to erode rights of individuals, this is why I'm extremely troubled today about voting on this bill, period, but that is why I'm going to vote no today.
Any further discussion? Representative Lowe.
I suppose I ought to add my 2 cents. I think that I belong to a Christian faith. I'm Methodist, and there's nothing in here that is in compliance or comports with my faith, and I'm very saddened by this. I think that when compassion dies, justice will follow soon, and I'm a no vote.
Else. For myself and for the record, I think this is probably pretty well known based on the conversations I know that I've had with members and leadership as well. Staying with the prior commitment that I made on this bill, I intend to vote yes to, as a courtesy, to pass this bill to the floor. I am aware of the drafting of a minority report that would address this by reserving to the state the right to define marriage, but not further addressing the issue of benefits and constitutional rights that were found in the Tanner decision, and I intend to myself actively support that minority report when it comes to the floor. But I will vote for the resolution to get it out of committee today. Representative Williams.
I too am going to vote the resolution out as it stands today in majority report form, but will also be supporting the minority report, which strictly addresses the issue of marriage. And to a good representative from Portland to my right, I read the Tanner decision slightly different than you do, and I do believe that the Tanner decision put at issue the question of marriage and will therefore be supporting that issue in a minority report on the floor. But I, too, will not support the motion on the floor as it attempts to reverse the issue of benefits that were set forth in the Tanner decision.
Okay. Any further discussion? All right. Please call the roll. This is on the motion to move the bill as amended to the resolution as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Representative Beckman?
Aye.
Representative Beckman?
No, serve notice of a possible minority report.
Representative Lowe?
No, I serve notice of a minority report, or I join with that.
Representative Berbelow?
No.
Representative Walker?
No, and I may join in the minority report.
Yes.
Representative Williams?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Yes.
Chair
Sagan? Yes. House Joint Resolution 28-29 goes to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Did I understand that Representative Mannix?
That's correct.
Is going to carry that. Okay, we'll assign Representative Mannix on the minority report. Just for committee information, we have a holiday weekend, so those need to be to committee staff by 5 p.m. on Wednesday. With that, I want to thank the committee for good work today and decorum in dealing with two difficult issues along with the other bills on the agenda today. And I wish you all a good weekend. And with that, we are adjourned.